The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. He really wants to be involved. And he would have been a lot more involved if he could have just made the money the other day. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. And you could text the show, you know the number for that. I only had one negative for me on the whole poker tournament is like I was going to do, Oaklawn was having a big card Saturday, and so I was going to handicap the card and send tweet out some stuff. And then once we got so busy with the tournament, I didn't have time, but there was one race that I did. And just forgot to bet it, and it cost me a couple grand. So that sucked. But, hey, you know what? It was for a good cause. You want to do a little NFL here? I have
yes.
The 11 teams most in need of drafting a quarterback.
Okay.
And I'll start with number 11. And it is the Las Vegas Raiders. And they've got Carr and Mariota.
I don't understand the rush to get rid of the – I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize that Derek Carr is pretty damn good. I mean, is he great? No. Is he more than serviceable? Yes, I think so.
Well, it's what does John Gruden think of him, basically, is what it comes down to. And I like the guy. I think you could do a lot worse than him. And I think you can win with Derek Carr. And people forget that Jack Del Rio team, Derek Carr was having an MVP season before he got hurt, and Connor Cook wound up coming to play here.
Let's remember that his best weapon is a tight end. I mean, they're not exactly building a stockpile of great players around that dude.
No, but that's why they brought in Mariota. Is if they're not happy with him, they'll put him in. But you can't. I don't think you can count on Marcus Mariota being your future either. So,
Do you know where Derek Carr ranked in total QBR this season?
I'm pretty sure he was top 10. I remember us going over that.
He was 10th. He was tied with Ryan Tannehill, who everyone seems to think was like the greatest thing on earth this last year. He was ahead of Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he was ahead of Matt Ryan. He was just behind Deshaun Watson. I mean,
They were having a really good. They were having a good season up until they fell apart in the second half of the year, but wasn't his fault. Number 10, your London Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, that seems such a mess. I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. I thought that. I think Gardner Minshew was a nice fill-in. I thought he did a good job for what they asked him to do. I also knew the entire time there's no way this guy's a long-term answer.
No, and so I think they probably should be higher on this list.
I do too. And the fact that they got rid of Nick Foles, like if they had Nick Foles, you'd still say, well, who knows what Nick Foles is going to be? Because I've never been sold that Nick Foles is an elite quarterback either. But at least with Nick Foles, you'd feel better about what you've got going into this season.
Yeah. Number 9, you're Miami Dolphins, which I think everybody expects. But truth is, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you could do worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 8th in the league in total QBR this year, or this last season.
He's quietly having a pretty good career.
Yeah. I
mean, And like the older he gets, he's still playing at a very, very high level. Number 8, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Makes sense because you've only got 2 years of Brady.
Yeah, and who knows what Brady you're getting at this point. I'm a believer that Tom Brady has kind of jumped the shark. there's a lot of people who say, well, it's just because he didn't have the weapons last year. And he's certainly going to have weapons this year. There's no weapons excuse for him right now. But he is, what, he'll be 43, 44?
Yeah.
I mean, this is there's not many guys who have made it as far as he has into their careers. There's the number of guys who have made it past where he is and still been successful is basically no one. So could he be the exception? Sure. You know, am I banking on it? No.
The thing is, even if he's somehow finds the Tom Brady of 2-3 years ago and does that for 2 years, he's still going to be, what, 44, 45.
Right.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to draft somebody and develop him, because Blaine Gabbert ain't your answer, and that's your backup. Number seven, the Indianapolis Colts. They've got, obviously, signed Phillip Rivers. You don't know, again, you don't know what you're going to get out of Phillip Rivers at this age. And they still have Brisket, but obviously they're not sold on him, or they don't go and get Rivers.
Yeah.
Saints at six, which makes sense, especially since Drew Brees has already got a job for after football, and maybe the whole world doesn't believe Taysom Hill can throw the football.
What? I thought they did. I thought everyone was convinced. He's the future.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what's he going to be, 32 next year?
Yeah.
Something like that?
And he's thrown like six passes in the NFL.
Number five on the list, the Chicago Bears.
Not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you go out and get Nick Foles, you're kind of admitting, okay, maybe this Trubisky thing isn't working.
But now you've got two quarterbacks who you don't know what they are. You've got two quarterbacks that have decent upside, but no one that you should feel comfortable with as your franchise quarterback.
Number four, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Which, it's time. I mean, listen,
it is.
He's not going to last forever.
He's 38. He's really fat.
That's his beard, he says.
Yeah. But he's missed a game in four of the last five seasons. And obviously, Duck Hodges is not an answer. I think they may.
Mason Rudolph.
Right. I think they may wait and see if somebody slips to him, and if not, I mean, I still think that's a team that might have some interest in Jameis Winston as a backup, but they still need to draft somebody for the long term. Number three, and I think I'd make these guys number one, but Belichick factor, your New England Patriots.
They've got to be up near the top. But there's a lot of people who think Jared Stidham is the answer. I don't know that. I don't remember Jared Stidham being like this unstoppable force in college football, but you know, you're right. The Belichick factor certainly plays into that.
Yeah, I mean, if they think he can play and they can develop him, then okay. It's hard to go against those guys until they prove they can't do it, and they haven't done that for, you know, I don't know, 20 years. Number two, your Cincinnati Bengals, which makes sense because Joe Burrow is going to be your guy.
But Andy Dalton is still there, right?
Yeah, and Andy Dalton.
Think about this. Imagine, okay, would you rather go into the season, let's say the draft doesn't happen, okay, nobody's allowed to draft this year, which is obviously ridiculous, but for a second, pretend the draft's not going to happen, or the Bengals decide we're taking Chase Young. Would you rather go into the season with Andy Dalton or with what the Patriots have?
Oh, Andy Dalton.
See, that's what I'm saying. It seems difficult for me to put the Bengals ahead of the Patriots on this list.
He's never going to be great, but
no,
he's not bad. And if you have a good enough team around him, as they've had in the past, he can take you a long way. But at number one on this list,
I've already guessed
LA
it, Fred.
Chargers.
Yeah, they, and that is a team that's in pretty desperate need. You know,
yeah,
they don't really have much left there, and Tyrod Taylor, we've seen that before. Again, solid backup quarterback, not an answer as a starter.
They're really trying to sell hard, though, that, oh, we believe in Tyrod Taylor.
Well, that's obviously a draft strategy, because you don't want everyone to feel like you're you're locked in or there's you don't have a choice. You know, you want everybody to feel like the ideal thing going into the draft is for teams to think that you've got options, but we know the Chargers don't really have options.
No, no. And, you know, you've still got, I mean, to me, somebody will give Cam Newton a shot somewhere. And while, I mean, as a backup, I think Jameis gets a job. I mean, those are, I mean, I still feel like Cam Newton would be an upgrade over Tyrod Taylor. Maybe they're just waiting to see what happens in the draft.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dallas Longhorn says number one should be the Cowboys after what Dak said in his press conference. I can't take care of me and my family for $34 million. I've stood behind him, but not anymore. I mean, that's just negotiating. But if I'm the Cowboys, and I think I mentioned this before, I think they've built a really good roster there. Would you not be better off taking on David Carr at $10 million less if the Raiders
Derek
are that
Carr.
Desperate to get rid of Derek Carr, excuse me, or Andy Dalton even?
Yeah. As soon as I heard that Derek Carr might be available, the first thing I told you was the Cowboys make the most sense to me because you've got him for a couple years. You don't have to pay him this ridiculous contract. And what it opens you up for is it opens you up to draft another guy in the second, third round and see if he develops much like Dak did. And let Dak go out and test the market. If Dak thinks he can get more money than from another team, then let him. I think Dak is a good player. I don't think Dak is the kind of guy that I'd be comfortable paying top five quarterback money because I don't think he's, you know, when you talk about it, the guy, we talk all the time about you're not necessarily the best, but you're the next in line. So it's your turn. To me, that applies when you're in a certain tier. Dak is not in the same tier as the guys who should be getting number one overall quarterback money. So should he be asking for the top at his tier? Yes. Should he be asking for the top of everybody? I don't think so. Because Dak Prescott making the same money as Patrick Mahomes in any world is absurd. It's absurd.
I agree. And, you know, I have said all along, I think $35 million is probably the number it's going to be, and that's great if he can get it, but would I want to pay that for him? I wouldn't as a GM. I would look for other options, and you know, if that meant, okay, hey, let's go get Andy Dalton and see how he does with this group around him, and run the ball with Zeke Elliott, just like you do now. I think you win games, and I like a lot of the moves that the Cowboys have made. So they've signed some under the radar guys that I think are going to make them a lot better, especially defensively. But man, if you've got to tie yourself to somebody with that kind of money, I mean, to me, I would look into some other options. And you know, I don't know what it would cost to get Carr from the Raiders, but if they're really serious, I'd be on the phone, and I imagine it wouldn't cost you anything for Andy Dalton right now.
Nope. They're looking to get rid of him. Like, if they can get an asset for him, you know they want to.
Yeah, especially when the whole world knows they're taking Jose Burrow. So, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. I think it's time to go to the break. We will be right back. We got a lot more get to. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-3776. George asks, what do you think of the McCaffrey extension? It's a lot of money for a running back, but is there another running back out there you'd rather have than him right now? I guess it's kind of his time. But
dude, I think there's no non-quarterback who's more valuable to their team than Christian McCaffrey. Can we agree?
Offensively, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, he is the, when you think of the Panthers' offense now, that's the Panthers. That's what they are. You know, he's essentially what Drew Brees is to the Saints. I mean, they'd have a different identity without him. So, I don't think it's ridiculous. I think he's a very valuable guy. And now, when do I want to be paying him when he's 31, 32? No. But that's not what we're looking at here. You're basically paying him up until then. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I am too. Let's take a call. Let's go to Don. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man. Sports.
Yo, man, I had a take on your last thing. You were talking about Andy Dalton maybe being a target for the Cowboys. My thing on Andy Dalton is we know what he brings to the table. He's not really a winner. So even though the Cowboys do have a lot of weapons at receivers, why not Cam Newton? And I'm going to hang up and hear you guys talk about that.
Oh, I'd bring Cam Newton to the Cowboys, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's just and I said Derek Carr because I think Derek Carr is still I don't remember us saying Andy Dalton. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm not crazy about Andy Dalton.
No, we did. We talked about that. If you have an opportunity to get a player like that and walk away and you could start over with another guy in the draft at some point.
Yeah, Dalton would be a perfect – he'd be a bridge quarterback, obviously. And Cam Newton at this point might be the same thing. I said Derek Carr because I think Derek Carr's still got quality left in his tank. I mean, Cam Newton certainly might. And if he does, you've got yourself a nice little value piece. But if you go with a Cam Newton or an Andy Dalton, I think it's prescient that you go out and draft a quarterback as well, a guy that you're grooming to be your future.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think those guys are long-term answers, but if you're going to punt on your quarterback, then I think they're both short-term answers.
Even if you don't call it punting, even if you call it deciding that you're priced out, which, let's face it, when you look at that team and you look at how they're built, they're strong offensive line, obviously one of the better running backs in the league, a top-end receiver. I don't want to say that any old quarterback you can throw in there will do fine, but I'd much rather maintain what you've got than throw a ton of money at quarterback and then have to see that thing just slowly, maybe not even slowly, fall apart.
Well, let me ask you, do you think there's another team that would pay him that kind of money, especially when we look at a guy like Cam Newton who can't get a job right now?
No other team is going to look to pay him what he's asking for. He's going to have to take – and it's honestly the same boat Jadeveon Clowney's in. Jadeveon Clowney's like he thought, this is what I'm worth. And he gets out on the market, and he's finding quickly, okay, it looks like that's not what I was worth. And he's probably going to end up signing a one-year deal and try to prove it again and hope that the market for a pass rusher is better next season. Which, listen, man, that's a tough life. But these guys, if they really want to hit that mega contract, sometimes that's what you got to do. And to me, Dak, even like with Clowney, I kind of understand it because, you know, Clowney's a guy who was drafted number one overall. Everybody's seen this potential in him. I mean, he's made plenty of money in his career. He made a healthy – his first contract, he wasn't hurt because he was drafted number one overall. Dak is a little bit different because Dak didn't make that big money in his first contract. And I think he's trying to make up for that, and it doesn't really work that way. I mean, could you say, hell, Dak has been underpaid his entire career? 100%. Does that mean you should massively overpay him now? In a world of fairness, that would make sense. But in the kind of cutthroat world of the NFL, hey, we'll pay you what we think you're worth. And if you think you can get more elsewhere, go for it. Because I don't think Dak is really in a position to play chicken with the Cowboys. Because he's worth more to them than he is to, I think, most teams out there. And I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, man, We're going to give you whatever money you want. We're going to make you the highest paid quarterback in the league. I don't believe that.
Well, here's the second part of this, and if this shutdown continues into the season and these TV deals that were supposed to happen don't happen, you think the salary cap's going up and you give somebody that kind of money, you're taking out that much of a chunk of your cap? It's going to make team building really hard. I mean, what
very difficult.
You know, what happens if that dries up a little bit? And why wouldn't it? Because you're not playing games.
Right.
So I'd be careful. That's all. I saw Lamont's tweet. So by the end of all this, Fred and AJ's combined wealth will be more than Tillman Fertitta's.
I don't know about that.
No, but it kind of confirms something you said a few weeks ago is, you know, he really got enough money to run an NBA team with these guys at that level.
Well, the businesses that he's involved in, it seems like it's not recession proof. Certainly, we're seeing that now. And you're at the table with a bunch of these guys who have computer money and stuff like that. Sometimes it could be tough to keep up with, and it's not like he's relative. And we talked about this. We went over the richest owners in the NBA, and I think he's certainly in the top half of them as far as his net worth. But how much of that net worth can he basically funnel into this basketball team? And I don't know that he's going to be a guy who's comfortable putting a lot of it into it.
Well, and, basically the news was he was applying for a loan to try to help some of those other businesses. And you know, the reality is a lot of guys are having to do that. The only reason his name comes up is because, you know, he's got a TV show called Billion Dollar Buyer, and he's very prominent, and he owns a sports team. So, but that kind of stuff does happen all the time. I think people look at him and say, oh, well, you know, maybe he's not as rich as we thought. But those are businesses that are suffering because of what's going on, like a lot of them are. And, you know, that's not much else to say about it. It's not surprising. And, you know, a lot of people are having to do it. And I think we've just got so much unknown out there right now. I mean, it's not just the impact on businesses right now while people can't work. What's the impact going to be in 2 months?
Right.
Even if things start to come back, they're not going to come back. We were talking about earlier, it's like, well, okay, they say it's fine to go out and do stuff again. It's like, well, I'm probably going to wait a little bit. How many people are going to do that? A bunch. So, and some people aren't going to be able to afford to go out anymore. It's going to be a long, bad haul, unfortunately. All right. Let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and it's Monday at 5:30. We're joined by the draft guru of the universe. You can hear him here on the mornings on the bench. Follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein, NFL Network, all-around draft genius, Lance Zierlein. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, Fred?
Not much. Are you? How close are you to being done now?
We're about, 25 out, so about a week away.
We were surprised not to see you in the poker tournament this weekend, Lance.
Well, we had a little family thing we had to get going.
I mean, you're around your family. You're around your family all the time. I mean, tell them to piss off one day.
No, I'm not. I go to a different house to work.
Okay.
It really hasn't changed. Like for me personally, it's about the same as if I were at. Let's just say I'm at a different office. That's an office.
So what you should have done is said, "I got to go to the office today," and then just play poker from the office.
Now, that would have been the play, although because I did end up working on Saturday. I was actually didn't get home until about 3 o'clock because I had to get four players done because I've got deadlines. So yeah, it's a busy time, but it's about to slow down here in about 2 weeks, week and a half.
So Fred and I were just talking about Dak Prescott and where the Cowboys are at, because I'm a big believer that the Cowboys should not pay Dak Prescott what he's asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the solutions that Fred and I have talked about is if the Raiders really want out of Derek Carr, trade for Derek Carr.
Right.
Because I don't think it would take much to get him. You know, he's signed for the next couple years. And find yourself if you like a quarterback in the draft, do that. Or otherwise, just if you think that you can coach Derek Carr and make something out of him, do that. But I think if they pay Dak Prescott what he's asking, they're really hamstringing themselves.
Yeah, I agree, because you already know what you got to pay Amari Cooper. You already know what you have to pay for what you are paying Zeke Elliott. And so really, I think there's an interesting scenario, because once you get to a second contract, it becomes a very expensive proposition now at running back. Well, relatively speaking at running back, but then ridiculously expensive at quarterback. And so if you're going to pay over $30 million, you really need to feel like that quarterback can help you, I think, at a level that is commensurate with getting to a Super Bowl. And if the answer is in your heart that you don't think that's the case, then you really have to make a wise decision about how you want to pay him. And at some point, you can't just say, well, this is what the rate is, so we're just going to pay him. Not if you have a firm belief on, you know, what a quarterback is. Then you need to define what your quarterback is. If they say, well, this is the going rate, then you need to say, okay, this is the going rate for a quarterback who can compete for a Super Bowl. And I don't know if Dak is that guy. I'm kind of with you on that one. So if they feel like he's not, and clearly they have been dragging their feet on this thing, so I tend to doubt that they do, maybe you do go towards the new bridge quarterback, which is, you know, average NFL starter on a 2-year deal, which allows you to buy time to find your next quarterback. So it's actually not a bad, it's not a bad sentiment, to be honest with you.
And, you know, we were talking about how, you know, everybody will say, well, Dak is, he might not be the best, but it's his turn. But I believe that should be taken in tiers. And to me, Dak is not in the same tier as a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson. To me, you know, when those guys' contracts are up, yeah, they should be the highest paid quarterback in the league. I think that Dak Prescott is not on the same tier as those guys, so he should be paid commensurate with that, at the top of his tier.
Well, it can be his turn, just maybe it's someone else's turn to pay his turn.
Well, that's the thing. And how many teams do you think are out there willing to pay Dak $34 million? Because I think the market for
that
is limited.
I think you're in competition against yourself right now.
Right.
I don't think there would be a lot of – I don't think a lot of people are rushing out there to say, let's pay Dak. I mean, you didn't get to take advantage of his rookie deal. The rookie deal is where he had all the value. Right now, there's no value. So I don't think anyone wants to take on Dak, you know, a Dak Prescott for $34 million. I mean, of all the quarterback-hungry teams, would the Chargers take him on and pay him $34 million? Would the Miami Dolphins do that? Because if the answer is no for any of those guys, I would tell you he's not worth $34 million. Because those are teams that are looking for faces of the franchise quarterbacks. If you're paying somebody $34 million plus, then that's the face of the franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And so if they are willing to pay it, then that would give you an idea of what the value around the market is. But I just don't feel like that is the market value for Dak, because I don't think anyone really buys into him as a top, you know, four quarterback. And the whole thing was, it's his turn. Well, you have to have people can say what they want about Daryl Morey, but Daryl has and look, football and basketball are different types of salary structures. But the Rockets operate with a salary concept of what player worth is, what player value is. And they don't like to come off of it. It's the teams that don't operate with that, they start doing really crazy stuff. They start operating without a level of consistency. And I really give the Cowboys some credit here. I think the Cowboys have
hung in there and done a pretty good job in terms of who they paid, when they paid them, and how they paid them. But this is the first time that we're seeing with Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott, the Cowboys have some serious that's been a serious consideration, because once they're all in on their quarterback, running back, wide receiver, they have no wiggle room. And they were built on an offensive line to begin with.
Well, we were talking about, and maybe you disagree with us, I think the most important player to their offense in the league, non-quarterback, is Christian McCaffrey. Do you agree with the Panthers paying him what they did?
Yeah, because he's a dual-threat guy. But I can just say this. I think he's worth that money right now. In 3 years, I doubt it.
Okay.
So what you're basically doing is you got to see how it's structured, and you have to see how, you know, whether or not you have something that is, because the structure of these contracts are that's the most important thing in the world. As long as you have an out after 2 years or 3 years, which a lot of these contracts do, because the agents, it allows them to potentially get them to free agency depending on how it's structured. But I think as long as you have an out with running backs after 3 years, and if you're paying them after, you know, 4 years in the league, I think that's okay. But a lot of it's going to depend on wear and tear. And let's remember now, Christian McCaffrey's not the biggest running back in the world, and he did have some totes for a couple of years there in a row, and one of the years he got banged up. So there is some, you know, there is some concern there, because he's had to handle a little heavier workload over the last couple seasons. But he's really talented, first down, second down, third down, explosive plays, scores touchdowns. So there's value to be had there. But if you don't believe in value of running back, then you shouldn't believe in the value of paying Christian McCaffrey either.
Well,
I mean,
that's
a philosophical argument.
I also don't really hate paying guys when they're 23 versus, you know, for a four-year deal versus when they're 28 on a four-year deal. To me, it's completely different, because I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that Christian McCaffrey's got 4 or 5 great years left in him. If he were 28, the likelihood that he's got...
early.
Right, but the likelihood that he's got 4 great years left in, and he was a first-round pick, so it's not like you were underpaying him necessarily to begin with. It's not like this guy's the guy who they found in the fourth round and they had a great bargain on. So, I mean, he was going to be paid well anyway. I'd just rather pay a guy up until he's 27, 28 at running back and then move on from him than wait until he's 27 or 28 and then say, okay, we'll give you your big deal now. I don't like that.
Yeah, what's interesting is there is a pretty consistent, you know, a pretty consistent numbers and historical trends and data that suggest how long a player can be good and at what level. And I think that the big second contract is obviously can be a huge issue for a lot of teams. But if you structured it so that you would have a player for, let's say, 7 years, I think that's the optimal amount of years for a running back. 7 years, if they're a really good running back. Once you get beyond that, you're really overpaying for what you get from that running back. Highly unlikely by the time they're 29 years old, even 28 years old, that you're getting the same value for that running back that you could for a replacement running back at a much, much cheaper cost. So that becomes a whole philosophical argument and a financial one that doesn't really make sense with what we grew up with. Like you have to really trust the numbers and say, look, I know Christian McCaffrey, for example, let's say when he's 28, we may be saying, yeah, he's really good, but is he really good for $13 million? Or can you get, you know, 1,800 fewer total yards and 3 or 4 fewer touchdowns for $1.8 million for a rookie? I mean, you know, it just, at some point you start realizing, man, that is just, We are paying retail prices for these running backs. There's no such thing on quarterback. Quarterback, you have to pay retail.
That's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench on every morning. Lance, I understand you were not a fan of the Brandon Cooks trade. Just curious to get your take on it.
Yeah, I was. Here's my problem is the big problem I have is there continues to be just no understanding of structure. Or of value. NFL teams, this is a guy who now, it's you're making moves based on Jack Easterby has a relationship with him. Well, that's great. Bring him in, but bring him in for a reasonable rate. This is now his fourth team he's played on in 6 years. That has to concern you somewhat. Teams have been giving up first rounds. They haven't gotten the value back in return, not even close. And so now you've added, since the last team traded for him, you've added four concussions since the last team traded for him, the Rams. So that automatically should be a discounted, you know, that should be a discounted price tag on what he's, you know, what you trade for him. And so I just felt like giving away a second round pick for a guy with four concussions over the last 2 years and three dating back to the Super Bowl when he got knocked out of the game, it's just not good value. If you want Cooks to help you right now, that's fine, but I have not changed my opinion. Bill O'Brien is building a team right now the best he can for 2020, and he doesn't care beyond that. Well, Bill O'Brien may not be here in 2022, but all of us will, and we'll all be here. And I think the damage that he's going to do to the ability to build a roster that can compete for the Super Bowl, I think it's irreparable damage that he's putting together right now, because all the potential for cheap labor is being spent, credit card spent, in trades for players who are not cheap. You've got to have the good contracts, like we talked about with Dak. You've got to have some of those favorable contracts in order to build a team, and the Texans are just, you know, they're just crapping that away. They're not going to have those.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench every Monday through Friday. He's also NFL.com, Draft Genius, and Lance, great stuff as always, and hopefully we will see you at the virtual tables on Saturday.
And I'm a driveway two-on-two basketball player. We need to.
Didn't you get smoked by your kid or something?
No, he got me the other day when I was kind of playing light, but now he's about to get dad strength on him. He doesn't know it.
He's about to get the business. That's what I like to hear.
He's about to get the Derek Harper hand check. What is this? Harper hand check, son.
All right, that's Lance Erline. Appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, let's take a quick break.
I think it was a good time to get away from Lance because I think his connection was going.
Yeah, I could barely catch him there at the end. So, all right, we'll take a quick break. We come back, got a gem of the day for you, and a story of irony for you from one of your pastors, AJ.
All right.
We'll tell you all about that when we come back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, Black Bear Diner makes it easy to enjoy delicious food in the comfort of your own cave, even though it's delivery and curbside pickup offerings, or even through its delivery and curbside pickoff offerings. We're going to do a pickup, not pickoff. I've got baseball on the mind. We'll take caller one at 550 because Aaron's there by himself. To 713-780-3776. You'll win a $25 gift card to Black Bear Diner, where you can check out their to-go family meals starting at $19.99 and feed 3 to 4 hungry bears. Order your carryout or delivery at blackbeardiner.com. So 550, and if you don't get in right away, just kind of give up because we're doing the first first caller. So
just kind of
right,
give up.
Let's do – yeah, yeah, because
– that's, you know, the spirit.
Ordinarily, we'd let – you know, we do 5 or 10, but Aaron's got to do the show, so.
We don't have interns anymore.
All right. No, we don't. So let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, the English are at it again. A new UK dating site has been started. Nearly 400 women signed up the first day. The site is called Big One Dating. And basically, the man has to have a big penis.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised this is just now getting started.
I know. It's actually a really good idea. And, of course, women can block anybody who doesn't measure up. But the founder said, we have introduced a not big enough report button. He says the average member has 8 inches, but the biggest claims to be 11.
Oh, my.
So, now that's in England, which, I mean, that's probably means 4 and 7, right? I mean, if you're in England. The latest recruits include 391 women and 833 men. And apparently, Sheffield is where it matters the most because 38% joining were female.
So, okay.
It was 29% in London, 26% in Liverpool. So I'm going to say if they've got 833 English men claiming to be 8 inches, that's probably not true. You have to be over the global 5.5-inch average to join.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is your...
I'm logging on now.
Jewelers. Yeah, you know, next trip to London, man.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking. Yeah.
All right, look at this.
It's 5.75, it's over.
That's right.
All right, that is your Sad Hog Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day, it's the Gem of the Day. The Sad Hog Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, so I told you I had a little irony for you.
All right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Bishop Gerald Glenn.
I am not.
Of Richmond, Virginia. He is the head of the New Deliverance Evangelistic Church. He, just 3 weeks ago, he vowed to keep preaching unless he was in the jail or in the hospital. And so he had a huge congregation show up. He told followers to stand up and prove their numbers despite social distancing guidelines and warnings against large gatherings. Well, guess what? Guess who died from the Rona yesterday?
Oh, no. He got him?
Yep. During the service, he said he firmly believed God was larger than the virus and said he was proud of being controversial for violating safety protocols. He also claimed he was an essential worker, saying that he's a preacher and he talks to God. And on Easter Sunday,
he did talk to God.
He did.
He's talking to him currently. I believe him now.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
But yesterday, not so much. Now, I'll take his word for it.
But again, it's just, you know, come on, guys. This kind of stuff is just silly. So.
Well, I've said all along, this is the Candyman virus. If you mock it, it will find you. And we've seen it time and again. You know, these people, like that local lady who was like, you know, this can't, all I need is my guns and my God, and then I can defeat anything. And sure enough, it got her. You know, all the guys on the Congress floor wearing the damn gas mask, making fun of it. And then guess what? They got it. Rudy Gobert licking, you know, or breathing on microphones. He got it. You know, this is you do not want to taunt this virus.
Well, I'm still of the opinion that, you know, maybe we needed to handle this differently. But once you shut things down, you shut them down. You do what you have to do, because that's what is. You know, they've judged as best for everybody else, not just you. So these things suck. But, you know, I mean, if you flaunt it, it's going to get you.
Yep.
George says, I'm a Colts fan living in Houston. Would you trade T.Y. Hilton to Minnesota for Rudolph and a third-round pick? I saw it on Pro Football Talk over the weekend. I kind of think T.Y. is getting to that age where if you can get some value for him, I think I'd do it.
I mean, I think they're going to want to see what they've got. He's 30 years old. They're going to want to see what they've got with him and Rivers, right?
Yeah. But if you,
but I've also seen talks about T.Y. to the Packers. So, I mean, if you're the Vikings, you'd much rather have him than have the Packers have him.
Right, and they have a hole now. So,
what is it with the Colts' obsession with tight ends?
God, I don't know.
If they would trade Kyle Rudolph for T.Y. Hill, I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. But
well, and a third round pick. So
yeah, seems like T.Y. should be worth more than that.
30 years old. I don't know. I mean, been injury prone lately. And I mean, he was a demon when they had Andrew Luck, but he hasn't been as effective without him.
Do you think that has less to do with him and maybe more to do with who was throwing in the ball?
Yeah, but I mean, what's his value to you if that's what you're going to get out of him?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think with Phillip Rivers, I think you may want to, before you move him, you may want to make sure that it was a Jacoby Brissett problem and not a T.Y. Hilton problem. I'd want to X that box off before I moved on from him.
Yeah, I'd just be worried his age right now, because he'll be 31 next season, speed guy.
Yeah.
If there was something to get for him, I think I would be willing to take it. But
a tight end?
Kind of depends on where you are, too, as a team. If you think that you think you're going to win the division, then maybe you stay put. But, you know, I mean, depends on how much you value a third-round pick, too. Not going to be a great third-round pick.
Yeah, I'd don't know. I'd want to see what I could get for him. This third-round pick and a tight end seems like not much. And I'd actually, before I even thought about trading him, I'd want to see, because you're in a division that's wide open, I'd want to see what I could do this year with Phillip Rivers.
All right, let us take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. All right, let us take a quick break.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.